Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel, and say to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded, saying, any man from the house of Israel who slaughters an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or who slaughters it outside the camp and has not brought it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood guiltiness is to be reckoned to that man. He has shed blood, and that man should be cut off from among his people. The reason is so that the sons of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they were sacrificing in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting to the priest and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting and offer up the fat and smoke as a soothing aroma to the Lord. And they shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the harlot. This shall be a permanent statute to them throughout their generations. Then you shall say to them, any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man also shall be cut off from his people. And any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them in hunting catches a beast or a bird may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with the earth. For as for the life of all the flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And when any person eats an animal which dies or is torn by beasts, whether he is a native or an alien, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and remain unclean until evening. Then he will become clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. Amen. Moses is now, you know, as directed by the Lord, going a little deeper in talking about the blood and exactly what it is. Now, if you don't understand the context of this, then we'll pretty much misread what this text is saying. This is dealing with the blood of the atonement, but the idea is that God is really, more than anything else, he's speaking against idolatry. The Egyptians, The Israelites, the only reason that they would slaughter an ox or a lamb or the goat in the camp is to have a feast. This is a lot of meat. No family could eat, this kind of meal. You know, some of us think, well, a lamb is small, and because we're not farmers. You know, a lamb can feed a lot of people. I remember last time I was in Mongolia, and actually Pastor Nate was with us. And how many people were in that room? Would you say about 25 people altogether? Or so, yeah. And so we ate very well. It was just one, fairly small lamb there. It feeds quite a bit of people. And so, this word is really about the celebratory practices of the Israelites. You have to remember, you know, a commentator a long time ago said that, you know, it was 400 years for the Israelites to leave Egypt. And then it was another 40 years for Egypt to leave the Israelites. And so what God is doing through this whole time, he's trying to reform a cultural practice that had been taking place. So he says here that if you go and slaughter, the issue is really idolatry, because that's what people were doing. They were slaughtering these animals, and they were actually offering idolatrous acts. There were he's still practicing idols at this point. So he says, if you sacrifice an animal, you know, which is these celebratory religious rites, you make sure that it's at the door of the tent of meeting. In other words, that is unto the Lord. Because if it's not, then it's you know, unto different idols. And in fact, even in verse 5, it says, the reason is so that the sons of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they were sacrificed in the open field. The they actually is not referring to the Israelites. It was referring to the Egyptians. They're basically saying, you know, which the Egyptians were doing the open field, you know, make sure that they bring them to the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord. And now, so just so you know that this context is correct, if you look at the last verse, he says, and they shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons. This was a very prominent in Egyptian, I guess, religious system. They actually had three different goat demons. It was Pan, who many of us are very aware of, Fauna, and then Saturn. And these three goat demons, because their face or the imagery was as a goat, and these three were particularly worshipped by the Egyptians. And, you know, they did it out in the field and, you know, and all sorts of these things. And each of these goat demons also has a sexual nature to that. You know, Pan obviously being the very mischievous sexual deity, you know, in the Egyptian culture. And he says, and they'll no longer sacrifice their sacrifice to the goat demons, or the goat idols, which they play the harlot. And so they're not to do that. And this shall be a permanent statute to them throughout their generations. And so, you know, it makes it very, very clear. And then you shall say to them, any man from the house of Israel, from the aliens who sojourn, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to offer to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from his people. Now, again, it could sound really harsh, but again, the issue is idolatry. God's not saying, "Oh, if you can go and sacrifice only in my house." That's not what God is saying. God is saying that the sacrifices that take place outside of the tent of meeting is really done for idolatrous purposes, and so He's keeping Israel clean and pure to that end. And then He says in verse 10, "And any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, will cut him off from among his people." And so this issue was amongst a lot of these cults or a lot of these religions that were going on, the very idolatrous religions. It was very common practice that what they would do is they would kill the animal on the spot, and then they would drink a little bit of their blood. I mean, literally on the spot. And that represented the kind of the life of the animal or the beast that's given to the idol, and then the drinking the blood represented some power coming into the person off this dead beast or, you know, whatever it may be. In particular, there was one group called the Zabians, which were very, very prominent in doing this, and they would constantly be drinking blood. Usually right on the spot where the sacrifice had taken place. And interesting enough, I mean, you'll see even the Mayans, you'll see a lot of ancient cultures, and they all, it's interesting enough, they all had some sort of sacrificial system, which I think is really interesting. You know, when you study cultural anthropology and study cultures and whatnot, to know that inherent in almost every people system, there is this idea of sacrifice. There is this idea of appeasing some god somewhere. And a lot of these cultures, the seal of it was drinking the blood. And so, you know, again, you know, the enemy, all he's doing is counterfeiting. He's trying to counterfeit the power of blood, you know, in God's system. But he obviously perverts it. And so he says in this way, if they drink of this blood, the word is, I will set my face against it. This was a common way of saying that my anger will burn against the people. And so for the life again, this is the key. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We have hymns that we sing. You know, we're talking about the power in the blood and all those things. It's true. It comes out of this verse. In the end of it, he says, the blood by reason of the life, that makes atonement. He's saying the reason why there can be atonement is because there is life in the blood. In other words, one life is sacrificed for another, you know, for us in this regard. So he lays it out, I mean, as clear as could be, for life, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, and I mentioned, throughout this time that now science is caught up with the scriptures. And science understands that all that life really is in the blood. You know, everything that we need to live is inlaid in that blood. And so he says, no one, a person among you may eat blood, or may alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them, now in hunting, so notice this is interesting, catches a beast or a bird which may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with the earth. And so what they were commanded, now this was primarily only the Israelites, and they were the commanded, if they went hunting and they hunted, they would drain the blood, because this is not necessary for sacrifice, this is for eating, okay? And so then you have the distinction where in the beginning where people would kill the animals as some kind of sacrifice, obviously towards idols. But now you eat, you cut an animal and you hunt it to eat. What you're meant to do is you're meant to pour the blood out and then cover the blood with the dust of the earth. And so pour it out on the earth and you're to cover it. And that was sufficient enough to cover that blood. So now you can eat. So the sacrifice is totally different things. And so go to 14. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And when any person eats an animal which dies or is torn by beasts, whether he is a native or an alien, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and remain unclean until evening, when he becomes, then he will become clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. And so thus, there's a ritual cleansing, that's dealing with anything that's related to the blood. All right? Amen? Let's close our eyes. As we think through this whole process, and obviously it's dealing with idolatry, I guess just by way of prayer this morning, you know, are there any things that we are setting up as idols in our own life? It may not be so blatant as it was here to the Israelites, you know, copying what the Egyptians were doing. But are there any subtle things that we ourselves are copying in a sense? Let the Holy Spirit just check our hearts this morning. Thank you.
to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. Place once again, and once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I'll marvel at this saving grace. I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. And thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Let's pray this morning. Let's thank the Lord for His blood that's poured out for us. Let's thank Jesus because of His sacrifice. We are made whole and cleansed. I just want to encourage you to just go before the Lord. Just thank Him this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's lift up our community that are battling cancer and let's ask for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's ask that they'd be healed and saved. Pray for ones that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for Indonesia and Singapore this morning. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and Minister Febe. Pray for the mission outpost in Kupang and also for Singapore, SPSG. I'll be preaching there this weekend. Let's just ask for God's favor. We have a board meeting this weekend there as well. Let's just cover. Let's pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's ask God's hand to be with our young people and also the leaders and pastors and volunteers. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our new building, land. Pray for the donor that God would provide. Let's just lift up. Let's cover our weekend activities before the Lord. There's a GIC class today. Pray for EMP, Bible study. Pray for prison outreach, Sunday services. We have a guest speaker, a missionary named Mark Zhao. Pray for Noah's Ark, the worship, hospitality, the youth group, Yahweh, the marketplace ministries, and all the meetings that are going on. Let's just ask God's hand. We also have quite an important missions meeting this morning as well, if we can cover. Let's pray for house churches meeting today, Robinson Bay, Mawon, and Magdaddy. Let's ask for God's hand to be with our leaders and that the discussion and the ministry will be very fruitful and loving to one another. Let's pray for Alpha. Let's pray this Monday night that God's hand will be upon our guests and our leaders, and that the Lord would just really continue to draw people closer and closer to Him. Together. Father, thank you. God, Lord, we just appreciate, Father, just all the warnings in the scripture, God, that help us to be holy as you are holy, Lord. We pray that you would continue to draw near to us, God, as we seek to draw near to you. Watch over us today. Watch over us this weekend, God. And we just pray for your hand, God, of mercy and grace to be extended to each one of us, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and I'll see you throughout this weekend.